Appreciate Pastor Bill filling the pulpit the last three Sundays for me, two of which was on vacation. We did have a wonderful time on vacation. Tonight in the evening service, I'll be showing slides of my vacation. So, no, I wouldn't bore you with that. But there's some good pictures we've got, and if you want to see them, my wife has, not with her this morning, but if you'd like her to bring them, she will. There's some very nice ones. We did enjoy a good time, and part of that time with both our daughters and their families, so with all the grandkids, it was a special treat. But I guess I would say, in so many respects, I am truly blessed. And so I can only thank the Lord. But that's a good word to use, bless. So I'd like you to take your Bibles to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6 this morning. And I'm going to be looking at least as the basis of what I'm speaking about here this morning in verses 22 through 27. Scattered throughout the Bible, there are statements that are commonly known as benedictions. A benediction is a pronouncement of blessing on individuals or on groups of people. The word that we use, our English word benediction, actually is a word that means to speak well of or to say something good. So that really is what a benediction amounts to. For centuries, we know the Christian church has ended their worship services with scriptural benedictions before the people depart. To a large degree, the church has gotten away from that. Maybe there are some churches and denominations that do that, but we've kind of gotten away from it, and perhaps the reason is maybe to try to move away from what might be perceived as stale formality or mundane repetition or some reason like that. So we typically end our services with prayer and sometimes with a folksy, so long, have a great week or something like that. But I don't think it would hurt the church to return to a scriptural benediction now and then. Not so that it becomes just a formality, but so that it does have something meaningful. And I hope as we look at what we'll discuss this morning, and then I want to deal with a couple of benedictions from the Bible in the next couple of weeks, that we'll gain a fresh appreciation for these statements and not just see them as vain repetition or something like that, but something meaningful. Now, I know that by saying that, I've obligated myself to do that. So I guarantee you after this message, before we're dismissed, there'll be a formal benediction that I'll read. You'll notice as I look at this benediction here in Numbers chapter 6, you'll see the word bless here a few times. So this is instruction that God has received from Moses to pass on to the priest, sons of Aaron, or Aaron and his sons, to pronounce upon the people. So this is where it begins at verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. So you notice the word bless appears three times just in this benediction alone. And a benediction being a pronouncement of blessing upon people, then it would stand to reason that occasionally that's the word that would appear. And so I want to focus this morning on that word bless and the various forms of it that we see in Scripture. For example, we see bless, we see the word blessed, or if you're more King James, it's blessed. Or we have the word blessing. All three of these different forms that appear in the Bible over 500 times. And so, if we were, excuse me, get that out of there. If we were to take those three words, those forms of the word bless, take them completely out of our Christian vocabulary, take them out of the Bible, or if we were to take them out of our prayers and out of our preaching, take them out of the songs that we sing, well, certainly there would be a tremendous loss, wouldn't there? Because this is a word that's constantly used. Just think of how many times we use either form of this word in the songs that we sing on any given Sunday or in the prayers that we pray. We sing, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. We are so blessed. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, send us your blessing." Just take a note sometimes of how many times you see that word bless, blessing, or blessed. And then in the prayers that we pray, we use this word so often. Lord, please bless us. Please bless him, bless her, bless them. Or bless all the missionaries. Bless all the people who are serving the military, keeping our country safe. We sometimes end our correspondence, our written letters or emails with "God bless you" or "blessings" or something like that. If you sneeze, we'll say "bless you." I don't know what that's all about, where that came from, but it's there. So bless, blessing, blessed, these are all friendly terms that we're very accustomed to using. And so our Christian vocabulary would really be quite barren if we were not to have these words. We have to have something else that would fit what we're trying to say here and what we're trying to communicate, even what God is trying to communicate to us. But I wonder sometimes if we allow these terms to become a bit generic, perhaps, or so commonplace, to the point that we can use these terms without necessarily being specific about anything. For example, in our prayers on behalf of somebody else, we can just say, "Lord, bless them." We don't have to be specific about anything. Just whatever it is you want to do, I guess, Lord, just give your blessing, whatever it is. Or if we're thanking God for blessings, we just, you know, kind of cover everything by, "Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Amen." Because, like, we don't have time to name anything or list anything, or maybe we can't think of anything, but we know something's there, so it's just, "Lord, thank you for your blessings." You know, interestingly, very often you'll see in the Bible this word bless or blessing used in a non-specific sense. For example, even in this benediction we just read, nothing is specified. It just said the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord will bless you, and I'll bless them. But we don't have anything really detailed here given to us, at least in this section. But the other thing to remember, though, is that whenever the Bible does use the terms in a generic or non-specific sense, at some point or eventually, the blessing is defined or is described, explained further in some way so that we know, or the person who is receiving the blessing knows exactly what it is God is doing. And so as we think about this term blessing or bless, a couple of questions come to my mind then. One question is, what is a blessing then? Do we have a definition? Well, I've got a definition. It's not original with me, but I think it's a good definition. A blessing is any act of God that brings Him glory by accomplishing His will and helping His people grow and do His will. Now, that's kind of a mouthful there, but when you think about it and break it down, it becomes a little more understandable and we can digest it better. A blessing is any act of God, anything He does that brings Him glory by accomplishing His will And thereby it helps us to grow in our faith and to do his will. So that's a definition that kind of broadens the arena of blessing and where it takes place and what the experience might lead to. But again, I emphasize that term, any act of God is a blessing. Which leads me to the second question then. In what ways does God bless us? Well, let me give you a few things here. The first way is what we'll call natural blessings. Now, natural blessings are those good things that every person receives from God, such as the air we breathe, the sunshine, the rain, water, shelter, food, life itself. Those are natural blessings. In fact, they're blessings that are really given to everyone, the righteous and the unrighteous. So we would say that these are blessings that come from God's common grace. Common grace is what he shows to every person, saved or unsaved, righteous, unrighteous. Now, not everyone receives them to the same degree. And we know that sometimes too much of a good thing is not real great either. Too much rain can be destructive. Too much sunshine can be destructive. Too much food, well, if you don't handle it right, it can be bad too. But on the other hand, there are blessings that are unique to God's people. People who are his by faith, faith in Jesus Christ. And some of those blessings that are unique to God's people are conditioned upon obedience. God will say, if you do this, then I will do this for you. If you don't do this, you will not receive this. Conditional blessings. But there are other blessings that are just unmerited. They're given by his grace alone. And we do nothing for them or to receive them. So when we're thinking of these blessings then, conditioned or unmerited, then we know that the next aspect about this is that blessings can come in the context of pleasant or unpleasant experiences. So you're going through a circumstance that would be considered negative or bad. If God has allowed it, then he has blessing in it in some way. Any act of God. Now, James chapter 1, verse 17 is the verse that I've put beside that. Let me just read that for you, James 1, 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. So every good thing, and every perfect gift is from God. So if it comes from God, then you can't manufacture it, you can't buy it, you can't do anything for it. It's a blessing that comes from God. Now, James said every good thing and every perfect thing comes from God. So that would naturally mean then that every bad thing is not from God, right? Well, not necessarily. Things that we would perceive to be bad things might be something God has for good. So everything that comes from God is good because he is good by nature. Everything that comes from God is perfect because he is perfect. He cannot give us anything that is bad for us. And so therefore, in those circumstances that we would perceive to be negative experiences, God can have blessing in them. Take, for example, Jacob. We did our study of Jacob not long ago in Genesis chapter 32. Remember that account where Jacob wrestled with the Lord. He was actually wrestling with the angel of the Lord, but it was wrestling with the Lord himself. He wrestled all night long. And you remember the words that he said as he's wrestling? Jacob said, "I'll not let you go until you bless me." Now, Jacob wasn't specific at that point as far as what the blessing was he was looking for. It was just kind of a general thing. I think he knew probably what he was looking for. He must have figured God knew what it was, but he didn't specify. And he didn't specify whether it was spiritual or whether it was material. But we do know the blessing he got as a result of that was not what he expected. What he got from God was a lame hip, from which he, from that point on, walked with a limp. And so, is a limp a blessing? If you ask God for a blessing and he gives you a physical injury or a physical handicap, is that good? Well, it was in Jacob's case. Even though it negatively changed his physical walk, on the positive side, it changed his walk with God. It changed his walk in his relationship with other people. The ultimate outcome of it was positive. The man with a limp walked closer to God than he ever had before. Or let's take the Apostle Paul. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talked about this thing he called a thorn in the flesh, which he didn't specify what it was. It's probably just as well we don't know. But it was something that affected his flesh, whether some physical pain, some emotional stress, whatever it might have been. But he said he went to the Lord three times and asked the Lord to take this thing away because Paul looked at that thing as a hindrance to his ministry. And if God would take that away, then he could serve the Lord better, but the Lord said, "No, I'm not going to take it away." Instead, he blessed Paul's ministry because of the physical limitation. Not in spite of it, but because of it. Because God used that to prove the point that his power is demonstrated through human weakness. Therefore, being made weak and dependent upon God is a blessing. Because it delivers us, as it did in Paul's case, from sinful pride, from self-sufficiency, and it allows God to do greater things through us and for us. As Paul learned, when I am weak, then I am strong. And he found that God's grace was indeed sufficient for him. Well, another aspect to how God blesses us is that there are other times when the blessing is a positive response that flows out of a negative circumstance. I should say a positive promise. A positive promise that flows out of a negative circumstance. Now, for that, I take you to Matthew chapter 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 5, we have what has been commonly called the Beatitudes. I'm not sure where that term came from. Jesus didn't appear to use it, but somebody coined the phrase, so that's what we have. When I was a boy in Sunday school, a friend of mine always called them the Beatitudes. So that's how I remember them. But at verse 3, let me just list a few of these here so you get the idea. Every one of them begins with the word blessed. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, that can't be a good thing. Be poor in spirit. But the promise is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Well, if you're mourning in sorrow, then that can't be good circumstance either. But blessed are they, for the promise is they shall be comforted. Which is better? To have no sorrow at all in life, or to be comforted by God Himself in that sorrow? You think about that. Moving down to verse 9. Blessed are the pure... verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, wait a minute. If you need peacemakers, then that means you've got some conflict going on, right? So that can't be a good thing. That's a negative circumstance. But if you need peacemakers and they come along and do their job, then blessed are the peacemakers who enter into that negative conflict, for they shall be called the sons of God. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted, for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your promise is your reward is in heaven. Great is your reward. So, we know that out of those negative circumstances come promises of blessing for those who wait and depend upon the Lord. Now, so far, we focused on blessings that I say are imported blessings. They're blessings that we receive. We receive them from God. And sometimes we receive them from God through other people. Yes, God uses other people to be a blessing to us. Sometimes He uses people we don't even know. Sometimes He blesses us through people we don't even like. You know that? Yeah, He does. That's weird, but true. So those are imported blessings. But we're also instructed in Scripture to export blessing. That is, give out blessing. Now, since the word blessing and benediction are related, then that's where I come up with being a benediction believer. And I'll confess to you that term is not original with me. I stole that from Warren Wiersbe. He encourages us to become benediction believers. That is, Christians who bless others. So then the question would be, in what ways are we to give blessing? How do we do this? How do we become a benediction believer? Well, here's where it begins. The first place is to bless God. Wait a minute. We bless God? How do we do that? I mean, God blesses us. And God already has everything. How do we bless Him? Well, that's not a wrong idea. Many times in the Scriptures you'll hear, particularly in the Psalms, to bless the Lord. In Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless His holy name. Okay. So I'm commanded to bless the Lord, O my soul. How do I do that? Let me suggest to you a couple of ideas here. One is, as verse 2 of that same text goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. So we remember His benefits. We count our blessings, naming them one by one. So it's not just a generic, thanks Lord for the blessings, but it's being specific. So in your prayers, be specific. But I can't think of anything. Well, a good assignment is to get a pad of paper and just start thinking of things. What ways has God blessed me? You'd be surprised how quickly you can fill up a page. And then you can use that in your prayers. You start naming those things. And pretty soon your attitude changes from woe is me to I'm so blessed. And you want to pass the blessing on to others too. The other way we bless the Lord is just simply in our worship. Now, it helps to understand the kind of the etymology, the trace back the source of the word bless, because that kind of helps us to understand what we are to do in the context of worship in blessing the Lord. For example, the Latin is the word benediction. That's where we get the word that we use in the English. So benediction means to speak well of. So we come to our worship time, whether it's corporate or private, and we speak well of God. We speak well of our Savior. That's what we're doing in the songs that we sing. We're giving that exaltation. The Greek word, this is interesting, is eulogeo, which means to eulogize. Well, we only do that for people when they die, don't we? It's part of the service. We call it the eulogy. Well, yeah, but you know, you can actually give eulogy to somebody when they're still alive. And what do we do in a eulogy? Well, we say nice things about the person who's died. Good things that we remember them for, and you know, the great memories that we have. I've shared this with you before, but I remember I used to do a lot of funerals for people who were unchurched with my connection with local funeral homes. They would call on me from time to time, and this person doesn't have a minister, would you be willing to do the service? So it gave me an opportunity to share the gospel with people, so I obliged myself to do that. I usually tried to meet with the families beforehand. Remember one particular time I went to the funeral home for the visitation to meet with the daughter of the gentleman who had passed away, so I could find out some things. What do you want me to say besides the gospel? I don't know if she even wanted me to do that. But funeral director introduced me to her, and she pulled me aside, and she said, well, just want you to know, if you're thinking of saying anything good about my dad and the service, don't bother, because there's nothing good to say about him. So, okay, this is going to be interesting. So, fortunately, she didn't tell me to say anything bad about him. That would have been even harder. But at least I got to share the gospel. But we don't have any bad things to say about God. Only good things. So eulogizing God would be praising Him. The Hebrew word for blessing, and before I show this to you, I just want you to, when you see the Hebrew word, I don't want you to draw any unnecessary, hasty conclusions about the word itself, okay? The Hebrew word is barak, which... I told you don't draw any hasty conclusions about these things. This is the actual word, means to bow in worship. So that would incorporate an act or an expression of true humbleness before God. We come before, and we don't come before God in worship with a flippant attitude. We shouldn't walk in here with a ho-hum, oh yeah. Here we are again. Or even with some sort of arrogance. No, we come in with hearts that are humble because we're approaching a holy, righteous, awesome God. We're in His presence here. It should change everything about our hearts and our attitudes. Now, even more interesting than this, the Persian root of the word is mit, which means to cause to prosper. Isn't that cool? How that just works out, and everything balances out in life. It just is. No, I'm kidding. I made that one up. So I didn't want to appear politically one-sided, one way or the other. So we'll get that one out of there. So it's not a distraction. Now the point is, when we worship the Lord, we are to bless Him by speaking well of Him, to eulogize Him through our praise, and to bow in humbleness before Him. So that's blessing the Lord, giving our benediction to Him. But we're also commanded to bless others. Now, how do we do that? How do we bless others? Well, if the word means to speak well of, then that's one way we bless others, is by speaking well of them. Not just in front of them, but behind their back. We don't say bad things. We don't spread gossip. We don't spread rumors that are unfounded. We check things out first, even when we hear something. And so if we want to bless somebody else, give them compliments. Find the positive. As Bill mentioned last week in his message, everybody has their problems, their shortcomings, their sins, their failures. We all do. We all have good things too. And if we look at and focus on and search for the positive, and we can sometimes be an encouragement to somebody by telling them so. That, you know, you blessed me today. A friend of mine, I was having coffee with him the other day, and he and his wife had been at Cracker Barrel prior Friday night. And while they were sitting there, there was a young couple just across the way from them shortly. He saw them bow in prayer before they had their meal. And it wasn't just a, you know, rub your eyes type prayer or, you know, just some short little thing. But they were holding hands, and he spent some time in prayer. So he thought, you know, I want to tell that young man before they leave that he really blessed my soul by doing that. In fact, he got a hold of a waitress and saw that their waitress was the same waitress that he had. So he told the waitress, you know, I really appreciate that couple over there. Before they go, would you give me their bill? I want to pay for their bill. And she said, okay. Well, then before they left, they got up and they came over to his table. This young couple, they recognized him. And, the person I'm talking about was my friend Ron Wood. He used to be a custodian at the Christian school up here on Westnage. And so for a number of years, he's known some of these kids since they were little, and they've grown up. They're young adults. So he didn't recognize who it was, but this young man came over to him and said, Mr. Wood, so good to see you. And so he told the young man, you know, you really blessed my heart, you know, by what you did. Thank you so much. And so they departed. And then when Ron and his wife got ready to go, he asked for the bill, and she said, well, you don't have to pay because that young man picked up your bill. So if you see me in a restaurant, pick up my bill. In fact, somebody in our church did that one time here a couple years ago. We were at Applebee's, and I can't remember who it was. But anyway, thanks. We really appreciated that because I forgot my wallet that day. But, no, I didn't. But you never know. But speak well of them. The other way is to do good things. Just do good things, as we already mentioned. In fact, as we think of that, speaking well of and doing good things for other people, Acts chapter 20, at verse 35, we're told this. I'll try not to keep you any longer here. Acts 20, verse 35. In everything, I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. You know, the thing about this matter of being a blessing and giving blessing is that it does not only include people who are nice to us. The Lord says we have to reach out even to bad people. Yeah. Luke 6, verse 28, we're told to bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. And then Romans 12, verse 14, same thing. Bless those who persecute you. Well, why should I do this for somebody who's mean and nasty to me? Well, because it's what Jesus did to the people who were mean and nasty to him, who crucified him. It's what he told his followers to do. It's what Holy Spirit-filled Christian-led or Spirit-led Christians do. Observe what Peter wrote in his epistle, his first epistle, about this kind of attitude and blessing. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, he said, but if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are, say it with me, blessed. How? I don't know. But God will bless you. He said the same thing similarly in chapter 4, verse 14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. That's the blessing. To have the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon us. That's better than money. So if we are determined that we are going to be a blessing, not just be a recipient of blessings, I know the Lord will help us. He'll help us by His Spirit, and it'll make us happier too. And we have plenty of blessings to share and plenty of resources to draw from. Ephesians 1:3 tells us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And in that chapter there in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. To receive blessing, we give blessing. And we have a rich treasury to draw from. And the invitation to us is to become benediction believers. People of God who have received blessing from Him and in turn bless others. And so our assignment this week is to find ways that we can bless somebody. Maybe we'll have to ask God to help us do that. But keep our eyes open.